will present Dennis Waterman in A Long Memory by Peter Simpkin.
All right, I'm trying. I'm trying to start this rust bucket.
You're mad. You're totally round the bend. Roger, are you really serious? You're leaving the paper, leaving Fleet Street to be a real writer?
Yes.
What about your pension, the company car?
I seriously think you should see a psychiatrist.
I suppose your little girlfriend's behind this. I suppose a staff man's not exciting enough for her.
Her name is Joy.
Oh, remember, you've got to find over £300 a month for Paul and me. He's your son and there's our mortgage.
Yes, there, yeah, I know.
You haven't even got central heating in that dump you call a flat. You know how susceptible he is to colds. I've got a new job, so if he's ill because he visits you, you'll have to look after him. I can't afford to take time off.
And I've just sold an idea to Channel 4, which will help with the overdraft.
Good. And that's about...
5,000 quid, actually.
I meant the subject.
Oh, well, it's about a journalist getting fed up with the new technology of the paper he's on and deciding to go freelance. Mm. His marriage cracks up, so
do
he...
Do you use everything that happens to you in your plays, Roger?
Well, I suppose I do, more or less.
Oh. So anything I say will be taken down and used in a play about me.
Yeah, you're in the next one.
As a sympathetic bank manager, I hope.
Of course, George. Now, you've been terrific.
Well, this is my last month, you know.
Oh, that close. What's the new man like?
Oh, he's from head office, first manager's job. Now, you see, you've got £5,000 coming in.
Well, I've already had a third. I get another third on delivery and the rest on acceptance.
So it'll be a few weeks before it all comes in.
More like a few months.
Your overdraft stands at £4,233.
Yeah.
You've got to get it down. Otherwise, you'll have problems with the new man.
Well, I've got a repeat fee. That should get it down by £1,000.
Roger,
so.
The problem is that since the divorce, you've got no collateral. The house is in your wife's name. With 100% mortgage on your flat, you've got to tighten your belt.
Nice.
Very nice. It always is.
So, what did he say?
Who?
The bank manager.
Bank? Oh, something about pulling my belt in.
As long as that doesn't stop us in a lot of French countryside next week. And a lot of chateau ceilings, too. Roger?
I can't go, love.
What did you say?
No, I'm sorry. I've got to get the play finished.
You said your bank manager was okay.
Well, he is, but he's retiring. There's a new bloke coming in. Where are you going?
To get a cigarette.
It just means a couple of weeks' delay, that's all.
No, it doesn't. I've booked time off from work. I need a break. We both do.
I know we do,
but I need to get away. I really do. Do you remember Sally, the girl I worked with in Birmingham?
Yeah.
Well, she's got a week off. Maybe she'll come with me. But don't look like that. It's only 4 days. The ferry's booked. Oh, don't bloody sulk, Roger.
I'm not bloody sulking. It's just that, I just thought...
You just thought I'd sit here in your half-decorated, freezing-cold flat and cook for you while you finished your play, did you?
Oh, I'm sorry. How stupid of me expecting a bit of support. How silly.
I told you, Roger, I enjoy our relationship for what it is.
For what it is? Well, come on, what is it, eh? What is our relationship? Based on bed, is it?
Huh? Just because I happen to want to go to France for a few days, you're acting like a husband. Well, you're not my husband or
anything. Or anything, am I? Just a 44-year-old ex-journalist with a tatty flat, an ex-wife, a child to support, who happens to satisfy you in bed. Oh, look, you know what I want.
We talked about it. Because we're going out together, it doesn't mean you own me. If you can't accept that... Look, and 26 years old with a new job. I've got my own life, my own friends, and I want it that way.
Listen.
I lived with Terry when I was 18. I've had my commitment. For a while, I just wanted...
The bloody cake, yeah. And you want to eat it. Well, lady, you might not want commitment, but unfortunately, I'm committed. I'm very committed.
I think I'd better go.
Yeah. Yeah, why don't you? Go on, just go. Clear off. Yes?
Roger, is that you?
Roger.
Oh, yes, babe. Look, hang on a minute.
Right.
Well?
I told you from the beginning, from day one, no heavens. It was your decision to leave your well-paid job to freelance. Now you've got financial problems, which means you have to pull out of our holiday. Well, don't put the guilt on me, because I'm not guilty.
Sorry, Dave, what is it, mate?
I might have a nice one for you.
For me? No, I haven't covered boxing for years.
Isn't it a boxing story? No. I've met an old boy who wants his life story written. You interested?
Well, a boxer?
No, but he was involved in the fight game.
Oh, a promoter?
Well, not exactly. Look, are you doing anything tonight?
Well, yeah, I've got to finish this bloody TV
play.
Well,
come and have a meal with me and my friend, and then you can go back to your typewriter.
Yeah, why not? Okay, yeah, where?
John's Salt Beef Bar, Whitechapel. 7 p.m.
I'm sorry I'm late. It's all these new one-way systems.
Yeah, the East End's changed all right.
Hey, Johnny, this is Roger Stevens.
Hello.
Sit down, boy.
And Johnny saw your last play, Roger.
Yeah, terrific, son. Very good. I thought that's the man for me.
Cheers, thanks.
I thought that man understands.
In what way? You ready to order?
You understand the East End.
Oh, yeah, my family come from around here, yeah.
Look, I've got a queue of people. Can I take your order?
Get lost.
Listen. Sorry, Mr. Poole. I didn't... I have plenty of time. No rush.
You're not Johnny Poole.
Yeah. I ran the East End. Kept it kosher. But only the old boys know me now.
Oh, no, I remember. Well, I was only a kid, but I remember the newspaper stories.
Yeah, that was crap, most of it.
Look, Mr. Poole, I don't write books. I write plays.
Shall we order?
Waiter.
Mr. Poole.
What you having, son? Well, now, I went to the States. I met all the Mafia. Now, it ain't worth frightening men, those eye ties. But it kept New York quiet. The old ladies could walk the streets. No muggings, no robbery. It's the same here in my time. If I had my way, I'd chop these little bastards' hands off. In my time, we never touched old people or women.
They called you the Razor King, didn't they?
Yeah. Newspapers like to give you a nickname. Johnny the Razor was mine. Well, what do you think, Rog? Want to do my story?
I don't think so, Mr. Paul.
It's Johnny. Listen, son. You can make a lot of money. All I want is 10%. People want to know the true story of the 50s. I know names. And I'll tell them.
True story?
Yeah. Like you really ran the East End.
I thought you did.
Nah, not really.
Well, who did?
We'll talk again. I see you, boy chick. I'm off.
Well? A frightening old bastard, isn't he? How old is he?
Nearly 80.
What's in it for him?
Well, maybe his conscience. He's even started to go to church. And, of course, he's broke.
Synagogue, you mean?
Oh, no, he's a Fenian. His old man was a drunken mick, but he was brought up in Brady Street, a Jewish ghetto. The neighbours raised Johnny. He even married the nice Jewish girl next door, Helen. He worshipped her. She died last year.
He wants a workhorse, John, didn't he? No, thanks, Dave.
Now, you've lost your touch, son. He's got a story that'll make even your last few hairs curl.
If it's such a good story, why aren't you doing?
Because, Roger, old son, I'm still a boxing reporter, and if I got involved with the Johnny Poole story, half the people in boxing wouldn't come within a mile of me. Loads of people he's going to name come from the boxing fraternity. Yeah. Comprendo, amigo?
So does this mythical numero uno really exist?
Oh, well, so Johnny says. I'll let you get the Jack and Jill.
Oh, thank you very much, Dave. Waiter, could I have the bill, please?
Oh, no, it's on the house, sir.
See, I told you. Poole's a legend round here. A regular Robin Hood.
Yeah, with a razor instead of a quarterstaff. No, I don't think so, Dave. It's not my style.
By yourself.
Hey, shh.
Look, I'm sorry.
Truth?
Of course, come in.
Doing anything this evening?
No.
Come over to my place for dinner.
I'd love to, thank you.
So, what you been up to?
I had an interesting meeting last night. A gangster called Johnny Poole.
I don't know the name.
No, you wouldn't know. That was pre-Cray Brothers, before you were born. Johnny Razor Poole ruled the East End in the 50s. He wants me to write his life story.
Why you?
Well, he saw my last play, The Soho Connection. Seems to think I understand the gangster's mind.
Is it a good story?
Yeah, it could be, yeah. I went back to the paper this morning. Look him up in the cutting library.
Has it changed much?
Changed? It's weird. Now, it's not like a newspaper office. More like a computer centre. VDUs everywhere. No typewriters. Just silent keyboards for the computers. And the security, I tell you, it's easier to get into NASA control.
No regrets?
No. Only the paychecks. Now, listen, this Paul must have been arrested over 100 times. Everything from fraud to attempted murder. But not one conviction. Now, witnesses seem to get amnesia. Stories of razor fights are horrific. Ears cut off, noses. Not to mention certain other parts that even that German beer couldn't revive.
Mm, sounds sensational. Do I detect a note of uncertainty in your voice?
Yeah, well, Paul wants a whitewash job.
Is there any money in it?
Oh, yeah, quite a lot, I should think, but... Read some of this.
Johnny Poole, the gangland king of London, was today attacked in Frith Street by at least 10 men with razors. He received 400 stitches and 20 pints of blood in an operation lasting more than 6 hours. Good God.
That finished his reign. He was in hospital for months. And when he came out, the younger Bladies had taken over. He claims it was Mr. Innocent protecting the poor in the East End from other gangs, but he was just a vicious thug. Anyway, I could get lawsuits slung at me from all the people that Johnny wants to name.
It all happened 30 or 40 years ago. All the people Poole names will be dead.
Yes, but what about the morality of it? Poole is going to cash in on all the maiming, all that misery he caused.
Oh, hypocrite! You love old American gangster movies. Al Capone, the Mafia.
Well, that's different. Hello?
Roger, it's James. Bit of bad news. The Channel 4 company are pulling out of your play.
Why?
They're frightened.
See you tonight.
Yeah, okay, love, yeah. Frightened? Oh, that's ridiculous. It's not a documentary. I've changed the names, the places, everything. Nobody can sue.
I have a funny feeling that one of the money men backing the film company is your ex-newspaper boss.
Yeah, it doesn't put him in a very good light, does it?
That's about it.
So no further payment?
No.
Jesus. Listen, I've been approached by a guy called Johnny Poole. Do you remember him?
Yes. Yes, I know who he is.
Yeah, well, he wants me to write his life story.
So do it.
Well, I've got a feeling that Poole wants a whitewash job.
So whitewash a bit. Oh, Roger, I've got a call from the States. Do it. Bye.
Oh, hold it, James, listen. So, Mr. Poole, this is your life. Jonathan Poole, born 6th of March 1909, to Sean and Fiona Pooley. Sean Pooley died in 1923 after a street fight in Whitechapel. This is me. Who are you?
You're in a good mood.
Of course I'm in a good mood. I'm on my way. I won't forget the wine.
Rod, I've got one of my migraines. Would you mind if we left it till tomorrow? I just want to crash into bed and die.
Oh. Well, of course, yeah. A bad one, is it?
Yeah.
Well, don't worry. I'll see you tomorrow, eh? Well, it depends if I'm driving home.
Fool. How's the fish?
Absolutely delicious. Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
So, the TV plays off. You going to do the book?
No, I don't think so. I read Paul's files again last night. It's unbelievable. He was a vicious little bastard.
The morality doesn't pay the bills. Worked on the Daily, you covered loads of stories where you hated the politics or the people involved. So how can you justify not doing this?
I left the paper, that's how. Look at that magazine you work for. All that crap you feed those gullible women, telling them to sling out all the clothes they bought last year, because any colour except brown stroke mauve is unfashionable this year. Or how to make pheasant soup for a dinner party for 15. Or who Boris Becker is bonking this year. Look, it doesn't bother you, fine. It's fine. But it bothers me.
So that's what you really think of my work. You haven't even read the magazine.
Of course I have.
You just skim it. You don't think it's worth your intellectual time to actually read it. Here. Page 15, for instance.
Look, hey, hold on. Look, I didn't mean...
Read it. It's an article on psychological stress problems of men on the dole and the signs for women to look for. Then try page 33.
Okay. I'm sorry.
You talk about me not supporting you. You just want to write about cosy little subjects that you're interested in. 44 years old with a clapped-out mini, a flat no self-respecting squatter would squat in, an overdraft you can't pay, and somebody offers you a book that almost guarantees you a lifeline, and you sit there talking about morality. You'll end up in a bedsit in King's Cross on the Social Security, fine, but don't expect me to come visiting.
Truth time.
Why did I get involved with you?
I really don't know.
I've been a fan since I was your spotty 16-year-old assistant. You're a brilliant writer, but you want it cosy, safe. If you don't crack it now, you never will.
Yeah, I suppose you're right in a way.
Now, why don't you take the brandy through to the bedroom? I'll just clear up.
Right. Well, I'm going to tell Paul tomorrow I'll do it. But on my terms, no whitewash. I'm going to do it my way. Hey. Last night's migraine. What was his name?
What? What are you talking about?
This container thing. It's empty.
You search my room.
I didn't have to search. It was lying by the bed last time we were at my place. So why is it empty by your bed?
I'm sorry. But you don't own me.
Who was he?
Does it matter?
Have a lovely holiday with your friend.
I'm going with Sally. I don't lie. Don't turn your back on me.
See ya.
2 days ago, you told me to clear off. You finished it. I didn't cheat on you. We weren't going out when I slept.
Devoted girlfriend. Oh, God, you didn't waste much time, did you?
It wasn't last night. I really did have a migraine.
Yeah, of course you did.
I'm sorry about the flat. Bit of a mess since Helen went. Money's a bit, you know.
Did you have any kids?
That's not what I want to talk about.
Johnny, look, we needn't put everything in the book, but I've got to know.
Samantha. She's married to a dentist in California.
He doesn't know about your past.
Right.
Fair enough. Now, about this bloke you say who was the real Mr. Big.
I swear on my life I'll tell, but later.
Okay. Right, so, let's start at the beginning. Now, you don't mind if I record this, do you?
Right, okay.
There you go. When did you first get into trouble?
I was ten. Bunch of us from Brady Street were playing football in Victoria Park when this gang of yokes, big kids that were all tooled up and all, they started...
Yokes?
Goyim. Non-Jews.
But you're a yok.
Yeah, not when I was with my mates. Anyway, they started to call us Jew boys, Yids. So I took this length of lead pipe and knocked one of them, and I hit him with it.
Now, when you were 14, your father got killed in a street fight.
Where did you get that from?
The newspaper library.
Oh, I don't remember.
You're a liar. You're just wasting my time, Mr. Paul.
If you had talked to me like that 40 years ago, you wouldn't have had a face, son.
Yeah, well, thank God I wasn't around when you were the king of the castle. Do you know what I think? I think you're a vicious old swine who doesn't give a damn about anybody except yourself. All you're interested in is making a few quick bob. Okay, well, you do it, but find yourself another pet boy, all right, Mr. Paul?
Sit down, Roger. I like you. You've got chutzpah. I killed my dad. And that ain't in your newspaper library.
You did what?
You want truth, I'll give it you. On one condition.
Which is?
You stop being a bleeding judge. It's all right now having nice liberal morals, eh? But you don't know what it's like to be starving. When I was a kid to get out of the East End, there was only two ways. A prize fighter or a street fighter. I was a street fighter. I killed my old man when I was 14, after I caught him with my sister, if you know what I mean. He used to beat me, my mother and my sisters. That was all right, that was normal. But nobody was doing that day. You look like you need a drink, Rog. What do you have?
And then you worked as a bookies runner?
Yeah. And I was already running my own gang. That would be about the time Mosley and his fascists started marching through the East End. The Jews and the dockers fought them. They used to throw potatoes at them. You might smile. They were very special potatoes. Stuck razor blades in them. Listen, Rog. Most of those people in the East End, they didn't know how to fight, or they couldn't fight. Old men, women and kids. Somebody had to take them on.
Now, you keep saying that people gave you money and clothes. Why?
Well, of course, we kept things peaceful.
Ah, protection money.
Now, that's your word. We saw ourselves as vigilantes.
We?
My boss, the man and me. He was a friend of ours, a boxing promoter. Sometimes his boxers didn't fight right, so I'd give him a reminder. There was a Schwarzer, coloured boy. Thought he was going to be world champion, but he didn't listen to orders.
Well, he wouldn't train properly.
He wouldn't lay down properly. So we helped him. We got a razor across the back of his legs, cut his tendons.
Just a minute, I'll change the tape.
So that was 1949. Black Market had more or less finished. Maltesers and the High Tides were running the clubs in Soho. We decided to expand. And that's when a gang fight started.
Yeah, I read about one of them. 20 men, including you, were taken to hospital with razor wounds. It happened right in the middle of Berwick Street Market, and the police couldn't find one witness.
Yeah. Funny the way they all disappear, isn't it?
So who did finish you eventually? The Italians or the...
Them were joking. That was my friend, my boss.
Your boss? Why?
Because let's say a difference of opinion. He wanted to expand into certain areas of business, and I didn't.
Drugs?
Look, I'm getting a bit tired now, Roger. Let's finish the story another day, eh?
Yeah, okay. Thursday?
Yeah, it's fine. In the meantime, you're going to have a nose round. Check up on me, aren't you?
You know, you're a shrewd old bugger.
I see you first, he was.
There you go. Pint of best and a milk stout.
Darla.
So, you've always lived in Whitechapel, have you?
born here and I'll die here.
Well, my old granddad was telling me about a bloke called Johnny Poole. He was a gangster round here, apparently. No, you ever heard of him?
Johnny Razor. Heard of him? I knew him. He weren't no gangster. He looked after his own.
I don't know about that. When him and his mates walked into a pub, everyone stopped talking.
Only because he might have been looking for somebody.
He never bought a drink in his life or anything else. They were all frightened of him. Tailors, cap owners, remember that? What was his name? The old boy with a limp. At the pawn shop down Cable Street.
Well, yeah, but...
They cut his son up.
Yeah, it was different. I remember when me dad died in the first bombing. Johnny had a whip round from his lads. He was king of the East End.
Ah, now listen, listen. My old granddad, he said that he didn't think that Johnny was the governor. No, he thought he'd just work for somebody, that there was somebody else who was the actual...
Come on, Elsa. It's getting a bit late, mate. Yeah. We'd better be going.
Yeah. Thanks for the drink, son.
Come on. Who wants these last tomatoes up, right?
I'll take them. Nippy, innit?
Nippy? It's cold enough to freeze my spuds off. I'm getting too old for this, boy.
Do you work the market long?
Oh, I've been here since 28.
Well, I'll tell you what, give us some apples as well.
Apples, right.
You remember a geezer called Johnny Poole?
Yeah. I'll never forget the bastard. He gave me this scar, didn't he? I wouldn't pay the insurance premium.
Johnny. Yeah, but he wasn't the real governor, was he?
Don't know what you mean.
I've got some nice satsumas.
Yeah, I'll have some. Listen, he hasn't been around for 30 years. Why do people still clam up?
That'd be 150, Gov. It might have been 30 years ago, but I'm not the only one with a long memory. It didn't just stop with Johnny the Razor. This area still has some, what should we call it, connections. Here's your change.
No, it's all right. Have a drink on me.
Oh, sure. Look, Sam. See that old boy lighting his pipe?
Where?
Over there, near the pistol.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a long memory as well. His name's Tom Jackson.
Thanks very much. Mr. Jackson?
Journalist?
How did you know that?
What do you want?
I'm Roger Stevens. Here's my card. I want to buy you a drink.
It's a bit early for me.
Tea?
Tell me what you want first.
No, just a bit of information about the old days.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Alf from the fruit store put you on to me. I saw you in the Chapel pub last night.
Don't miss much, do you? Ex-copper?
That makes us even. You can buy me that tea. Yeah, I was brought up in the same street as Poole. He was vicious even then. Cops and robbers, all from the same street. That's the way it used to be. Now, off the matter, university kids. You know, he never got put away, not once. I tried. I really tried. He was a slippery sod. And he had friends in high places.
Yeah?
Mm.
But listen, Poole told me that he didn't actually run the East End. He wasn't the number one man.
Well, Poole told you right. He was just the heavy. The man on the street, the hammer.
So who was the governor?
The same families still run organised crime in London, especially down here. They've modernised. It's drugs instead of protection and porn instead of prostitution.
Poole said his own boss had had him done over because he, Poole, wouldn't get involved in some new crime.
Yeah, that's right. They started running child prostitutes. Poole didn't want to know.
But if you knew all this, why didn't you sort it out?
Thanks for the tea. I can do without this sermon.
Oh, no, hang on, look,
listen,
I didn't mean...
Listen, Sonny. The villains still have their tame coppers today. Nothing's changed. Nothing.
No, I wasn't implying...
There's a video shop not 100 yards from this cabby that sells hard porn. Now, you tell me how they never get nicked. Just tell me that. Yeah, that's on the tea.
this is where the bold Mr. Jackson lives. Wouldn't he use the lift?
Oh, excuse me.
Oh, sorry, mate. Hold on. What's your carry?
You might put him over the balcony, eh?
But no, you don't. Oh, oh. Ah. Right, you asked for a sunny.
Oh. Some sort of, oh. You go.
What are you doing? Stop that! Help! Help!
Come on, please, stop up, please.
Leave him there, leave him.
Come on, another time, sunshine.
You okay?
Yes, thanks, I think so. Oh, except my ribs.
What were they?
Well, I don't know. Muggers, I suppose.
They weren't muggers. They were pros, and you were the target.
Target? What do you mean? What, you think...
They're just getting into a BMW. You all right?
Yes, thanks, yeah. Listen, which way did they go? Did you see?
No, don't like to get involved. Happens all the time in these flats. Muggers, break-ins. You get used to it. Flats, were they?
No, whites. Hold on, there was a redhead here just a minute ago. Did you see? Oh, no, there she is. Excuse me. See that late 20s, the redhead there. Do you know her?
No, don't know. Want me to call an ambulance?
No, thanks, no. Don't want to get you involved, do we, love?
Ah, come in, Roger. Coffee?
Oh, yes, please, yes.
Oh, I've got your cheque for the telly.
Aha, the cavalry arrives.
What happened to your face?
I got mugged, I think.
Roger, I got on to TV AM. They want to do an interview with you about Poole tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning?
It's just a hype in advance of the book. We could get some TV interest out of it. Don't tell them too much. Just infer a sensational story. No details.
I haven't got any details. Listen, will you be at the studio?
No, I can't come. I've got a working breakfast.
And now, on a more serious note, an ex-journalist, Roger Stevens, who is researching the true story of the East London gangster, Johnny Poole. Morning, Roger.
Good morning, sir.
Roger, tell me, how did you come to be tackling this subject?
Well, I was approached by Johnny Poole himself, who was always regarded as the gangland boss of the East End in the 40s and early 50s.
But you don't think he was?
No, that's right. It seems possible that Poole was just a front man for a very shadowy figure who was, in fact, the real Mr. Big.
So, who was this man, this Mr. Big?
Ha-ha. Now, I'm afraid you'll have to wait till the book is finished to find that out.
I look forward to it. But can you tell us some more about the gang warfare of that period?
Hello?
Hi, Roger, it's Peg. Look, listen, James had a call from a film company called Allgate Films. They want to meet you.
Blimey, that was fast. Do you know them?
No, I'll check with James when he gets back. Pop in tomorrow and see him, okay?
Hi, James.
Come in, sit down. Look, I've had a word with Allgate Films. They seem to be fairly new, involved in making training stuff for in-house showing. But they want to branch out into making TV films and documentaries. They say they've got plenty of money, and they want to fly you out to Spain this weekend. 2 first-class tickets.
First class?
And they've agreed my figures, providing your meeting successful.
Well, that seems fairly kosher, doesn't it?
There seem to be 4 directors to the company. Daniel Kay, David DeGleish, Marcus Nash and Peter Jacobs.
Hold on, there's a boxing promoter called Daniel Kay. Peter Jacobs, that rings a bell. Yeah, I did a story connected with him. He runs a West End club.
David DeGleish, LLB. High flying lawyer, real whisked.
Who was the 4th one?
Marcus Nash, FCA, an accountant. An interesting group.
2 tickets, you say?
Yeah.
Well, do you want to come down with me?
No, I can't. I'm going to America. Now, what about your girlfriend?
I'm not sure I've got one. What are you doing here?
Waiting for you. Drinking duty-free shampoo and eating very expensive food. Going to join me?
Sure, I missed you.
Mind if I finish my brew first?
Me first. Me later.
So, I got in this morning, came straight round. Only you weren't here, so I started tidying the flat up and eating and drinking your presents. How's the research on the book coming along?
That's good. Yeah, that's good. What are you doing at the weekend?
Is there a connection between the book and the weekend?
Yeah, I've got a meeting with some film people.
Look, Roger, I really don't want to spend the weekend in a dingy Soho office for some meeting.
Okay, fair enough. I'll just have to go to Spain by myself.
On the other hand, I could force myself.
Señor Stevens?
Sí, buenos días.
Oh, buenos días. Welcome to Almería. Your car is waiting.
Warm sunshine, lovely.
You have a good flight?
Yes, great, thank you, yes.
Here's the car keys.
Oh, you're not the driver?
No. Señor K phoned me. Tell me to give you best car I have. I put a map on back seat. It's easy to find. Oh. You take the road to Murcia. Mm-hmm. Then 90 kilometers from Almería, you see a sign for Mojaca. A very pretty village you like very much.
Oh, 90 kilometers, that's 60 miles.
Stop complaining. We've got a convertible Mercedes and a beautiful day. It's a gorgeous apartment.
Yeah, it is a bit posh, isn't it?
Look at this view, it's fantastic. The sea's so blue.
Hello?
Mr. Stevens?
Yeah, that's right.
Welcome to Mojaca. I'm Daniel Kay.
Ah.
Would you and your lady like to join us for dinner, say, 8 p.m, Mama Belle's restaurant?
Yes, Mama Belle's, 8 p.m.
See you there.
Okay. I'm meeting them for dinner. That's odd.
Dinner? Seems pretty natural to me.
No, I didn't mean that. He said you and your lady.
So he just assumed. They did send 2 tickets. You're so suspicious.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, thank you. A siesta.
No, I'm tired.
Well, David and me came to Mojaca in the 60s. 68, wasn't it, Dave?
September 69.
Typical lawyer. Always precise. No, must be no poor for poor.
And you bought property?
We bought Mojaca. Bought all this.
Look, I don't know if you remember, Mr. Jacobs, but we've actually met before.
It's Peter. Where was it?
Your club. You had trouble with a bouncer.
Right, yeah. Terrible things, these bouncers. All muscles, no play.
Perhaps we could get down to Roger Swift. After all, that's
Mark's an accountant. Time's money to him.
That's right.
Right, Roger. The table's yours. Tell us what you've got.
So, the evidence begins to indicate that Poole wasn't the boss at all, just a front man.
Yeah. There could be problems with the libel laws.
I can just be butting in, but would he use the real name?
Possibly. Depending if we can prove it's true.
So how does a film script grab you, Roger?
Grabs us. Lovely,
sure.
Tell me, who would you actually make it for?
International market. Mark here reckons the Yanks and the Italians would lap it up.
Yeah, sure.
They love gangsters.
Yeah. What made you keen on it in the first place? I mean, on the TV, I just gave the briefest outline.
The 4 of us are originally from the East End. We were brought up in the Mile End Road. It's part of our background. And Mark here reckons we'd all make a few bob.
Look at the success of films like Mona Lisa.
Yeah,
you
that's
just
right.
Get Bob Hoskins and you're halfway
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Roger, don't get us wrong. I mean, our company does very nicely out of training films and travel on. So. But we've been waiting for the right property to come along to get into the drama end of the month.
And speaking personally, I don't want to make some lousy tits and bumpers.
Peter!
Excuse me, young lady, you're offered lots.
I have heard the phrase.
Right, Roger. This is what we'd like you to do. Go back to the apartment, and tomorrow give us a brief outline for a movie script.
Tomorrow?
We'll have a meeting tomorrow night. If we like it, we won't muck around. We'll give you a straight yes or no.
Oh.
You look surprised.
Yes, it's all a bit quick, isn't it?
Roger, we believe you've got a very commercial property. Mm. And, as Dave said, it's our subject, and now's the right time for it. We're very keen to do it.
And we've got the financial backing.
Sounds like a great deal to me.
Not only beautiful, but bright as well.
Thank you.
We'll see you tomorrow at our villa.
You're very quiet. What's wrong?
Oh, I don't know. Well, I do. It's just too easy. Things like this only happen in the movies.
Roger, it's a chance of a lifetime. Go for it.
Yeah. But that Kay and Jacobs, they worry me. They're I don't know, they're yobs.
Okay, so they're rough diamonds. It's the other two that bother me. Dalgleish and Nash, the careful little lawyer and the accountant. Especially Dalgleish, he's got little piggy eyes.
Yeah, and he couldn't take them off your boobs. You should wear a bra with that shirt.
I was wearing this shirt when we met. Only I don't remember you telling me to wear a bra. In fact...
Touché. Come here a minute.
Yes?
Have I ever told you what I fancy you?
Few times.
I love you. Hey, what's wrong?
Come on. You've got to get ready for dinner.
Well, we've had a long discussion, and basically we think he's brilliant. Oh, terrific. There's just one or two small points. For instance, you haven't put the boss's name.
Well, no, for a very good reason. I haven't actually got it yet.
I thought Poole told you he was.
No, no, but I'll have it soon.
For Poole himself?
No, actually, I met an old ex-copper. He knows who Mr. Big was. He wasn't talking last week, but he was.
Good. Now, about the money. We're going to spread yours over 3 payments, then hopefully there'll be the American sale.
Well, yeah, but you can sort that all out with my agent, can't you?
Of course. Yeah.
Oh, well, now, here's a little present, Roger. Or you'd like it in cash. $5,000 up front to show good faith.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. Well, I'd better get started as soon as possible.
Well, that suits us fine.
Well, in fact, we'd like to start straight away.
Yeah, well, that's no problem. Yeah, as soon as I finish the book, I'll get going on it.
Listen, Peter, why don't you and Mark show Joy round the grounds while Roger and Dave and me sort out the details? Maybe Joy fancies a little dip.
That sounds like a great idea.
Right. Yeah. We'll be in a few minutes.
See you later.
Now, Roger, we'd really like you to start the script line tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Yeah. Well, I could certainly get some of the groundwork sorted out, locations, things like that, but I've got to finish the book first.
No. See, we thought leave the book.
Leave it.
Finish that when you've done the film script. We've got an office here, a secretary who speaks good English, no problem.
Well, here in Spain.
Why not?
No, well, all my notes, all the interviews I did with Poole, it's all in London. Anyway, I've got a lot more research to do.
You're a hard man, Roger.
Let's join the rest of them by the pool.
Hey, hold a long face, Roger. Enjoy yourself.
They want me to drop the book and start the film.
So?
Look, why don't you put your top on, eh?
Oh, God, you sound like my father. Relax, have some fun.
Go on, Joy! It's lovely in here!
Yeah, go on, Joy. Piggy eyes want you.
Oh, come on, Roger. Oh, suit yourself.
Hey!
What's with you, Roger? The walk is really nice.
No, I won't, thanks, no.
It's a problem making a living with an ex-wife to support. I've got one myself. Tough.
How old's your boy?
How the hell did you know about them, eh?
Didn't you mention they had a dinner last night?
No.
Right, I'm in for a dip. It's got a great body. Joy, I mean. You lucky man. Come on, Jacob.
Dan, listen, I'm a bit tired. I'm going to make a move, all right?
You're going to have to go just yet. Joy's having a great time.
Yeah, I can see that. Look, I'm going back to London tomorrow.
Roy, we'd really like you to change your mind and start writing the script. I tell you what, say we double your upfront bill.
No,
give you another $5,000 in ready. It's the bank office, with a few grand to spare.
I suppose I mentioned my overdraft at dinner last night as well, did I?
Every writer I know got a few grand owing to the bank. Well, what are you saying?
Your turn.
I'll talk to my agent in London tomorrow.
Listen, Roy, I'm not being heavy. But to be honest, I had to fight to get the boys to agree to take a chance.
Yes.
After all, you're not the big name when it comes to making movies.
So?
So? It's iffy. We're talking about a lot of bread for this movie. We could come unstuck. Say some people were frightened of the subject. Our money's down the toilet. The boys might want to pull out. Me, personally, I believe in this movie. I want to do it, but I'm only one man, okay?
Yeah, okay, yeah. I get the drift. Joy! Joy! Come on, we're going.
2, 5 minutes.
Now!
Well, it's iffy. Oh.
Sorry about Roger being a party poop.
No, that's no right. Problem, love. Nice to have met you. See you soon.
Thanks. Bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.
God, bye. Well, in London. Time to sort it out. Oh, and, put Roger's little present in the car.
Right.
Shame about Joy. Phew. I could get into trouble for her.
I don't like them, and I certainly don't trust them. They know too much about my private life, like my overdraft, my ex-wife. What's wrong? Oh, I don't believe it.
What?
They've got a puncture. Middle of the bloody mountains. We'll miss the plane now.
I presume you can change a tyre.
You presume right. But have you ever hired a car with a good spare, eh? It's either missing or it's flat.
Are you wrong this time?
Yeah, so I am. There's no jack.
Oh, stop moaning, Roger. It'll be in there somewhere. What's that?
Oh, no, let's have a look. Oh, my God.
What is
it? What? It's about 5 pounds of dope. Cannabis resin.
What the hell's that doing there?
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Look. Here's a scenario for you. Suppose we hadn't got this puncture, but instead we got pulled in by the police or stopped to buy a guy at the airport. So what's this, Signor Stevens? Oh, 5 pounds of dope. You're nicked.
It's only hash. It's more or less an explanation.
Well, what is it then?
Well, that stuff could have been in the car for months. Somebody hired the car, bought the dope, and then...
I forgot it. Yeah. With a street value of over 15 quid a quarter, you've got nearly 5 grand's worth there. You've got to have a pretty bad memory to forget that. Anyway, I'm trying to stop over the ravine now.
Aren't you being rather paranoid?
Yes, you're right, I am. And that police car that just appeared round the corner isn't going to stop either, is it, eh?
Buenos días, señor, señora. ¿Quiere darme su permiso de conducir y su pasaporte, señor?
Oh, possible. Yeah, hold on.
Inglés?
Yes, no hablo español.
Momento, señor. Busca paquete de maleta, yo busco en el coche.
Sí, vale.
Gracias, señor. I will look inside the car. It's routine.
Excuse me, what is your friend looking for in the boot?
No complaint, señor.
You go to Aluminia?
Yes.
At a plato?
That's right, yes.
For Capiones?
Yes.
Morcia?
Oh, no. Mojaca.
Ah, sí.
¿Qué que no está aquí?
No, este en la mares.
No lo comprendo.
Gracias, señor, señorita. We make a mistake.
Lo siento. Buen viaje. Adios.
Bye-bye.
I'm sorry, Roger. You were right. Somebody tipped them off.
I hope you've had a pleasant flight. Sorry to tell you it's raining at Heathrow, and the ground temperature is 10 degrees.
You're quiet.
It's hardly surprising, is it? Why was I set up by Kay? It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. Roger, I know this isn't the right time, but I've been offered a job in Paris.
You what?
I met somebody on holiday and he's offered me this job.
Oh, good. You're unbelievable, you are. You come back from France, you get into my bed, then you come to Spain with me, and now all of a sudden...
I start next month. Sorry, I should have mentioned it before.
Yes, maybe you should have mentioned it before. God, I don't believe this.
Put your voice down.
Listen, lady, when we go through that passport control, that is the last time I ever want to see you again. Understand?
Please.
This is Mr. Stevens, 124 Warbury Road, North 8. Yeah?
Yeah?
I've been burgled. My flat's been ransacked. It's a mess.
Stevens, 124 yes. Warby Road, Northway. One moment, sir.
Yes. Oh. That's all I need.
Is that Mr. Rogers, Stevens, sir?
Roger Stevens, that's right, yes. Yeah, 124.
Yes, someone will be round straight away, sir.
Oh, well, thanks very much. Cheers. Let's see what the answer line says.
Mr. Stevens, this is your bank. The new manager would like to see you urgently. Can you please call as soon as possible?
Yes.
Roger James, please call me. I'm not best pleased.
You're not bloody pleased. Ah. Your building society. Dear sir, we have noted that your standing order for your mortgage repayments has been stopped. Will you please give this matter your urgent attention?
Stevens?
Yeah, that's right. Come in.
Mr. Roger Stevens?
Yes, yeah. Well, I'm impressed. Turning up in 10 minutes for a burglary.
My name is Detective Inspector Royal, and this is Detective Sergeant Mullins.
Hello, yeah.
I'd like you to accompany us to Mile End Police Station.
Sure.
I have some questions I'd like to ask you in connection with the murder of a Mr. Thomas Jackson.
Let's recap. You met Mr. Jackson in Whitechapel Market. You had a chat with him for your book. You gave him your visiting card and he left you in the cafe. And that's the first and last time you saw him.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
And there's nothing you want to add to that?
Well, no.
Right, I'll give you my scenario. You met Jackson. He wouldn't give you the information you wanted, so you followed him back to his flat. You killed him after the fight. He was still holding your visiting card. You tried to take it out of his hand, but the old boy hung on to half of it. Here it is. Exhibit A.
Look, come on. Why should I kill him? I'd only met him 2 minutes before.
Well, you tell us, Sunshine.
We have a witness. A Mrs. Stone, flat number 40. She saw you stagger down the passageway with your face bleeding. Well?
All right. I did follow him back to his block, where he lived, but then I lost him.
From the beginning, Mr. Stevens.
Well, I met Jackson in the market. Then this woman came out of her flat and asked me if I wanted an ambulance called. I said no and I went home.
Mr. Stevens, we've been on duty for how long?
17 hours, Gov.
I'm tired and I want to go home. Now, do you expect me to believe all that, old cobblers? You followed a stranger home, but you don't know why. A couple of professional killers tried to throw you off a balcony, but again you don't know why. You're saved by a mystery redhead who then disappears like the proverbial genie. You don't call us or an ambulance. You just go quietly home.
Yeah. Look, when was he killed?
Sometime between late Friday night and early Saturday. Your little Spanish alibi clears you for Saturday, but not Friday. And you, my son, are not only number one suspect, you're the only one in the frame.
This...
Mullins? Yeah? Oh, is she? Tar, I'll tell him. Guard?
Mrs. Lloyd's downstairs.
Right. Now, when I get back, Mr. Stevens, I want the script rewritten. Different dialogue with a different ending.
Okay, Guard?
No, not okay. There's the door, Mr. Stevens. Please close it on your way out.
Mr. Stevens?
Yeah? Ah, my mystery redhead. Do I have you to thank for getting me out of there?
Sort of.
Well, thank you very, very much. Can I buy you a drink? Well, I don't even know your name.
Mary Lloyd. I used to be Mary Jackson. Tom Jackson's my father.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm very, very sorry. I really am.
I'll have that drink, please.
So the police let me go because you just met your father on the stairs before you saw me get him beaten up?
Partly. But they didn't have an exact time for my father's death. Until I spoke to my aunt and she told me she'd spoken to him on Saturday morning.
Ah, and by then I was on my way to Spain. Well, Mrs. Lloyd, thank you very, very much.
I knew it wasn't you.
How did you know that?
Because I found him. It's a special kind of animal to do that to another human being.
Come on, drink up.
Would you mind seeing me home?
No, of course not.
It's only instant, I'm afraid.
Well, as long as it's black and strong.
Lovely.
So, where's your husband?
We split 3 years ago. My dad liked you.
Did he?
Oh, I knew he had a funny way of showing it. He was a crusty old soul. After he calmed down, he realised what you were going to write needed to be written. He was going to give you a ring. He said he had a name for you.
He didn't tell you what that name was, did he?
No. When he got angry with you, it was because you hit a 40-year-old raw nerve.
I did?
Yes. Asking Dad why, if he knew about the child prostitution, he didn't do anything.
Mm.
He did. He told his governor.
And was told to look the other way?
Paid to look the other way.
Ah.
Mum was pregnant. Just excuses. He looked the other way. And then resigned because he was so ashamed. He still is. Was.
No, don't. Mary, don't.
They killed him for that name. I'm sure of it. Dad told me once he kept a diary from his days in the force. Names, dates, places. I'll try and find it for you tomorrow.
Yeah, okay.
More coffee?
No, thanks, Mary. No, I'd better get back to that flat of mine, try and straighten it out, I suppose.
Come on, then.
Eh?
I'll give you a hand.
No. I can't ask you to go back there.
I've taken a week off work. I don't want to stay here on my own.
No, look, I don't want the money. I don't like Kay or his
Roger, clothes. As your agent, the least I could expect is for you to consult me.
Look,
I think you should find yourself another agent. You obviously haven't got any confidence in my judgment, and I'm far too busy to waste my time negotiating a deal that you turned down solely on a personality clash.
James.
Goodbye and good luck, Roger.
Oh, great.
Problem?
Yeah, my agent just dumped me. Hello?
It's Johnny Poole. Can you get over here straight away?
Well, it'll be an hour, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That is the infamous Johnny Poole.
Oh, what's he like?
Why don't you come over and meet him?
Yeah. Thanks.
Yes, Roger Stevens here. The manager asked me to call him.
But me too.
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Stevens, thank you for calling. I understand from my predecessor that you would reduce your overdraft by this time.
Yeah.
Well, it is currently £200 over the old limit.
Well, yes, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorting it out at the moment.
And I understand the television play you talked about has in fact been cancelled.
Could you tell me where you've got that information from?
It's a confidential source. The point is, Mr. Stevens, until your overdraft is reduced by, say, £3,000, I'm in no position to honour any more of your cheques. Bank policy.
Yeah. Wimp. Take your bank policy. Stick it up your ins rate.
More problems.
That, my love, is an understatement. You know what? Might as well get all the bad news.
What's your star sign?
Oh, they're on Taurus.
With the Sun and Jupiter linked in Taurus today, it's a good day for sorting out business correspondence.
Are you sure?
Social meetings bring the chance of fun. So dear.
Great. Hello, Mr. Howard, please.
Speaking.
Hello, Mr. Howard. This is Mr. Stevens, 124 Walbury Road. You wrote about my mortgage.
Oh, yes. We understand from your bank that they stopped the standing order because of lack of funds. Could you put me in the picture?
Well, I mean, I'll be sorting your money out in the next few days. You'll have it then.
Good. Let's say by the end of the week.
Oh, by the end of the week, yeah. Fine.
Okay, bye. How much is it?
Oh, only 400 quid.
Who do I make it out to?
No, you can't do that. I'm a total stranger.
Listen, Mr. Stevens, it's a loan, and I don't intend to let you stay a total stranger. I'm a Virgo. You're my perfect sign.
Do you always make decisions that quickly?
Only the big ones.
Who's she?
Friend of mine. Oh, Johnny, the old flat's changed a bit since last week. New telly, new sofa, carpet. You won the pool?
No, I had a bit of luck. I want to talk to you in private, Roger. Do you mind, darling?
I won't be a minute.
Okay.
So, what's up?
I've changed my mind.
You what?
I've changed my mind.
You don't want to do the book?
That's right.
Why?
I just think things are best left undisturbed.
Is your change of mind anything to do with your new furniture?
As I say, I had a bit of luck. Oh, I don't need the cash now.
You've been got at.
I don't know what you mean.
I'll tell you what I mean. I got pulled in connection with Tom Jackson's murder and my place has been turned over. Someone tried to stitch me up on a drugs charge. Somebody else tried to kill me. And everybody I talk to is frightened. And you, Johnny Razor, the hard man, you're just the same. You're a frightened old man who's been bought with a new colour television. But I'm going to tell you something, Mr. Paul. I'm going to tell the story anyway, with or without your help. And you can tell your mate that. The last time I visited Paul, he didn't even have a decent chair to sit on. And now he's... Wow.
What's wrong?
I saw that jacket from his face. I think we're being followed. No, no, don't look round. Don't look round. There's a tube station down there on the left. You nip out at the lights. I'll meet you back at my flat.
Roger, I'm staying.
Please, don't argue. Come on, out now.
What are you going to do?
Lose them.
They let you out of hospital. They said you'd got amnesia.
Like hell I have.
But you told the police you couldn't remember anything.
Convenient amnesia. I remember everything. Including what I thought when I hit the roundabout. Do you know what the last thought was as I crashed?
You're no claims bonus.
No. You. That I'd never hold you in my arms.
Oh, Roger.
No, that isn't a line.
Well, it's a very good one if it is.
They were following me, you know. But only to watch me die. They doctored my brakes. Good morning.
How do you feel?
Terrific.
Headache?
No. I feel great. I must remember that line. It works really well.
You pig! You're that
pig! No, I'm only joking. Come on, I suppose we better get up. You've got to go and find your dad's diary.
It got here before us. Looks like a repeat of my flat.
But why did they tear his old photos up?
Because they're evil bastards who wanted to hurt you. Which means they probably didn't find the diary.
Well, where is it then?
I don't know. Safe deposit box?
He didn't have a bank account. Only a post office account. I wonder.
What?
He used to spend a lot of time at his allotment. There's a shed down there. He loved this place.
Not much in there, is there? Tools, cuttings.
Now, under these sacks, there used to be a box. Here we are. Look, loads of papers, documents.
Hold on, what's that photograph?
His old police football team. Mm-hmm. He loved his football.
Come on, let's have a look at these papers. I've got it! Mary, I've got it! Mr. Big's name. Nathan Kasnowski.
Anything else?
Oh, look at this! Names, dates, places, even the bent police chief. Oh, this is dynamite! Right, I'm going to try Paul again. Let him know that I've got the name. There's no point in keeping quiet now that we've got the name, is there?
Roger, whoever's asked you hasn't exactly been using kid's gloves. When they know you've got all this,
We'll photocopy the diary, then give it to my solicitor to keep, to be opened if...
If they kill us.
Well, look, I've been thinking about that too. I think you...
Forget it.
I'm not going anywhere. It's taken me 30 years to find you. I'm not letting you go now. Especially with your chat-up life.
You are an amazing lady.
So, let's go and see Paul. Why not take Paul a bottle of scotch? He's not licensed over the road.
Yeah, good thinking. Hang on, hang on. There's Paul coming out of the flat. Ah, that's interesting.
What?
The other man with Paul is Daniel Kay.
Oh, you were right. So that's how Paul's got his furniture.
Yeah.
He's done a deal behind your back. Kay's not such a fool. He knew that if he didn't...
Say that again.
What?
What you just said, say it again.
Kay's not such a fool that he knew that...
Kaysnovsky? Mr. Big?
I'm not with you.
Look, immigrants often shorten or anglicise their names. Say Daniel Kay is a relative, or even the son of Nathan Kaysnovsky. We're going to St. Catherine's house.
Where?
Register of births and deaths. Here, look, I was right. Daniel Kaysnovsky, born 1939, father Nathan Kaysnovsky, and mother Zila Kaysnovska, nay, Jacobs. I wonder.
What?
Well, it's a long shot, but one of Kay's partners is Peter Jacobs. Could be his cousin. Come on, let's keep it.
Look what I found.
Hmm?
Change of name by default. Daniel Kay from Daniel Kaysnovsky.
Let's go home.
How's the spaghetti?
Terrific. It's all falling into place.
The spaghetti falling into your lap.
Oh, dear, sorry now. Now, listen. Kaysnovsky's second in command was Paul, but the real manager of the operation was Kaysnovsky's brother-in-law, Samuel Jacobs. I was right. And in charge of the accounts was one John Nash.
And how does that connect?
What's another of Kay's partners, Nash, the accountant?
My God, so all the sons just carried on till today.
Inherited is a better word. They didn't want to make the movie, they just wanted to buy me out. They'd have the copyright then, no film, no book, no publicity.
He said there was a fourth man, the lawyer, Dalgleish. And where does he fit in?
No, he doesn't. But I've got Paul's connection. His wife, Helen, was Kaysnovsky's daughter. Charming, isn't it? His own father-in-law tried to kill him.
Call it a night. You're a bit cross-eyed.
No, another 10 minutes. But why don't you go to bed? Mary, wake up!
What is it?
I've got Dalgleish.
Oh, that's good.
Mr. Big's lawyer was one James Dalgleish. And I'll bet you our David is the son and heir. It's like a musical joke, isn't it? An Englishman, Scotsman, Pole and a Jew.
Oh, crazy.
I've got a special treat for you tomorrow. I'm going to take you to Company House. Now, this doesn't make sense. Aldgate Films grossed over £500,000 last year, but the profits are only 2,500. That's more or less the same for the last 10 years.
This is odd. Why would a company making travelogues need 20 video copying machines?
I don't know. Oh, here's a building purchase on the Isle of Dogs, and it's warehouse for use as a studio. And they've already got a studio in Wardour Street.
Let's see the list of directors.
Directors: Kay, Nash, Jacobs and Dalgleish. Hold on. See paragraph 5 for change of directorship. Oh, look. Look at that, I was right. I was bloody right. Company originally formed in 1951. The purpose of the company is to make motion pictures for the cinema. Directors: Nathan Kaysnovsky, Samuel Jacobs, Harold Nash and James Dalgleish. As the old men died off, their sons took their places. But why a film company? I'm going to make a phone call.
You're such a romantic. Lunch in a sandwich bar and now tepid tea on Victoria Station. Who are we meeting here?
Oh, an old mate of mine from the Ford squad. I've asked him to look into Aldgate Films for us.
Why here?
Well, Scotland Yard's just round the corner. Oh, there he is. Face, you.
Cheapskate. You dragged me to all the best places.
That's what I said.
Oh, Mary, this is Steeple.
Oh.
Well, did you find out anything?
Allgate Films are dodgy. Very dodgy.
In what way?
Porn, you think? Very hard, very nasty child porn.
But no proof.
That's right. I mean, superficially, the men running Allgate are straight. Not a criminal record between them. Not even a drink driving charge. And the company do make genuine commercial films. Okay, so they do buy a lot of expensive equipment they don't really need. It's a legal way of reducing their tax liability. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've checked with the VAT and tax people, unofficially, of course. It's in their files. Their books are so straight, they've got to be bent. So, if you get anything to help me, Roger, let me know. And if you get anything on the porn side, bring D.I. Royal at Mile End. He's a good man.
Royal?
You know him?
We know him.
Is he straight, Steve?
As far as I know.
What? Oh, let's just say I'm not on his list of favourites.
Hi, it's Peggy.
Oh, hello, how are you?
Well, look, I've left the agency and I've set up on my own. Have you got another agent yet?
No, I haven't actually, no.
Well, do you want to be my first client?
Yeah, why not, yeah. Sure.
Well, look, I'm glad you said that because I've just made an appointment for you to be the editor of the new Sunday that's being launched, okay?
Yeah, oh, terrific.
Look, Philip Hatton, right, 11 a.m. tomorrow. I told him about your pool story. He's very interested in doing a serialization deal.
That all sounds pretty frightening, Robert. But if you can tie it up with the present game, Bob, we've got the story of the year.
Well, I'm working on it, Mr. Hatton, but there are a lot of frightened people in the East End.
I'd like to try and get a serialization started next month.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe we should put you in a safe house while you write it.
No, I think I'm okay now.
When will they start publishing?
They'll start TV ads next month, then a taster in the papers the following weekend. Hello?
Roger, Philip Hatton here.
Mm-hmm.
Have you told anybody about the serialization?
No, why?
The proverbial writs have started hitting the fan. Dugleesh has been a busy boy. They threatened us with an injunction if we so much as even mentioned Kay's name. Poole's issued a writ as well.
Oh, I don't understand. How did they find out we were even doing a serialization?
That's what worries me, especially as they seem to know we're thinking Poole's name of Kay. I really think we'd better get you to that safe house before...
Oh, come, Philip, aren't you being a bit dramatic?
Roger, what happened?
I think we've just been firebombed. Come in, Philip. What are you doing?
I didn't want to use the phone. How are you settling in?
Fine. You like the country, don't you, Roger?
Haven't slept a wink since we got here. They're bloody noisy. The foxes going through the dusting, throat bells, owls.
No, it's terrific.
Did you like the first episode?
Yes. Yeah, but you didn't come 20 miles to ask me that.
Well, we had an anonymous phone call. He read between the lines. Claims there's a video shop in Whitechapel that's selling hard porn, and he says all gay films in general, and Kay in particular, are very involved.
Did you say which video shop?
No, you could hardly speak, it was so frightened.
There must be a video shop every 50 yards down Whitechapel.
No, but your dad mentioned the video shop when we met in that cafe. He said within 100 yards they were selling hard porn.
It was worth a try. I'm game.
You can't. Tell him, Philip.
Dugleesh has taken out an injunction, and the paper's legal advisor is not happy. Unless we can prove that Allgate Films are at it illegally, he's going to pull the plug on us. He won't be able to even mention Kay's name in connection with his father, so
we've got to find the video shop.
Roger, no. I'd rather the story dies than you do.
I'm inclined to agree with Mary. Well, I'm not. I've lost just about everything because of these thugs. My home, my car, my career.
And nearly your life. If you won't think of yourself, think of me.
Look, I'd better go. Just be careful, Roger.
Okay, Philip, I'll see you.
I've already lost my father. Have you got something to death with?
Mary, I'm the same as your old man. I can't look the other way.
Roger, you'll never get Kay. He's too big.
Nobody's that big.
Yeah? I want to buy some films.
We only rent them.
Yeah, I understand that, but
I live in Malta, you see, and you can't get any decent films there.
No.
I'll pay good money.
What sort of films do you want?
Something exciting.
Rocky, Clint Eastwood.
No. It's erotic, you know, but not just the ordinary stuff.
We don't do those sort of films.
No, I should say. I'll pay £100 a film for the right ones. Well, anyway.
Tiff, now, look, hang on. A mate of mine, you might have something.
Demetrius?
Yeah.
Your mate from the video shop sent me.
Well, he tells me. You want videos with you?
That's right.
Yes. How much you got to spend?
I'll tell you, mate, £100 a film.
I see what I can do. You call me in a week.
I'll go back to Malta in 2 days.
You want I speak to friends? You got cash?
Well, I can get cash tomorrow, yeah.
Okay. I make call.
Well, Mr. Stevens.
Superintendent Steve Forbes told me to get in touch with you. He said in spite of you being a pig, you're a straight copper.
Did he indeed?
I've got a meet set up with some people who make child pornography on your path.
Let's go for a walk.
The walls have ears.
Something like that.
Nothing strange, does it? Jack can have the same problem in his day. You got anybody for his murder yet?
No. So, tell me about the pawn deal. I take it it's something to do with your story in the Sunday Press.
That's right. I put the word out on the street I was interested in buying child porn movies in quantity. I went through several deals. Look, there's a list of them. Eventually, they set me up with a meet at this address.
Oh, no, it's Isle of Dogs. Used to be a grain store.
That's right. Allgate Films own it now. And according to this street middleman, they are the makers and distributors of the real nasty. Child porn, gangbang, sadism, torture, the lot.
All right.
The man I'm meeting is called Donnie Williams.
Okay, I'll fit you up with a transmitter. We'll take your meeting. And when we've heard the sales spiel, we'll move in. But you, my son, are playing a very dangerous game. I just hope you're not out of your depth.
What is it about me that gets up your nose?
I'll tell you, Mr. Journalist. You're mucking around with these people like it's a game. It isn't. Jackson got killed because of you and your little story.
That cobbler.
Is it?
Yes.
Jackson was a snout of mine. He called me after you met him. He was worried because you'd been asking questions. Jackson and me were working towards Kay, and now you're wasting my time with this. You won't get anywhere near Kay.
And what does that mean?
Even if they're not setting you up, you'll get nothing except Kay's minions. If they are setting you up, by the time we get to you, you'll be dead. This bloke Donnie you're meeting is just a warehouse porter. He won't know anything.
Do I take it you're warning me off?
That only happens in movies, son. A kindly copper trying to stop the stupid amateur getting involved. Now, if you want to go in, it's down to you. Anyway, you never know. You might get lucky.
And where will you be?
Somewhere close at hand. Listening in.
Donnie? So who are you? Dimitri sent me. Now, Dimitri? All right.
Can we get in through the side door, Father?
Yeah, we've got a sledgehammer ready.
Here's what you want. Can I see one of these videos? Yeah, man, sure.
Oh, Donnie's not going to say anything incriminating. You think they've sussed him? Maybe. Bad news to Stevens if they have.
Mm.
Yeah,
it's
actually
a drink
bottle,
look, eh? I'll go.
Yeah,
tongue
turn that. Nice one, Stephen. Getting pissed,
he
may talk.
Oh, dear, a lot of precipitation. Yeah, they've all got the class, them woman. Can you put the sound up? Yeah, this woman, this is not a free show. I've got to check the quality of the sound, haven't I? Come on, have another, Henry.
All right.
This is a good thing coming up. Three young woman with the mother.
Real mother.
She's a real hot woman, that. Okay, that's fine. Can we have a look at another back?
Yeah, Irene, I get my mind down with some more videos. Barry, bring down another box of videos. Barry's watching his
pretend that I'm a TV crew. You get bored watching porno films. It's cool.
Go on, Roger. It's time to keep it going.
I wonder what it's like being in one of these porno films.
Oh, it's quick. A bit of looking at somebody peeing. But like I say, I only do it with the young kids. Them all once and we are being dressed. Them love it, man. Maybe not the first time, but them love her. Hey, Barry, man, what's happening?
You're pissed, darling. But I know you,
don't you? No, I don't know. It's one day.
Well, Barry Hughes, one of Kay's minders. He could be one of those who tried to put Stevens over the balcony.
How long are you going to be, Donnie?
Not long, man.
Oh, well, I'll stay here, then.
I was just saying to Donnie, you must get bored watching porno films.
Yeah, what do you mean, Barry? You love it. Barry loves the gangbang. He stands up on the set giving advice. Him the technical advisor for gangbang.
Shut up, Johnny. Look, I think this stuff is fine. I'll just put 30 videos in a packet case and I'll pick them up in the morning, all right? When I bring the money, all right?
The rent said you had the cash, weren't you?
No, I told him. No, what? What are you doing?
Come on,
all right, get your hands on me. What?
Please. Bastard, Donnie, look.
Hey, what is it, huh?
It's a dry smitter, isn't it? It's a trap. Oh, no, it's a trap. Look, I might as well get my money
for the
form. This
is D.I. Royal's award. No. Move it and make it quick. Is Stevens okay, Cub? Yeah, but he won't be saying much for a while. Barry really did a job on him. Broken jaw, fractured nose, and his ribs kicked in. What did Barry have to say?
I want my brief.
Donnie?
We might have a bit of a result with Donnie. He's frightened of Barry and Kay, but he's even more frightened of an attempted murder charge.
But, Gav,
I mean, we know he wasn't involved, but he thinks he's up for attempted murder.
Mr. Stevens, you claim you were given Oldgate Films address by a Greek man whom you only know as Dimitri, whose office was in Cable Street. Can you explain how the police have been unable to trace this man or any evidence of the existence of his business?
I think it's very obvious, sir.
I think you're suggesting this man's disappearance has something to do with the directors of Aldgate Films.
Objection, my lord. You mustn't lead the witness, Mr. Jones.
Mr. Stevens, could you tell the jury how you obtained the name and address of the Greek man known as Dimitri who so conveniently disappeared?
I was given his name by a video shop owner.
Perhaps you could tell me what happened to the man since you spoke to him.
He was killed.
Objection, my lord.
He was burned to death by a firebomb in his shop.
Mr. Kay, could you tell the jury, in your own words, your feelings after being told about your employee's use of your premises for the purposes of making and selling pornographic...
Objection, my lord. Maloney's friend is leading his witness.
I agree. Please rephrase your question, Mr. Webster.
I was horrified. Absolutely horrified when I found out what my employees had done. I find pornography sticky, especially child pornography. I've got two young children of my own. You are a qualified and experienced accountant, are you not?
Yes, sir.
Wonderful. That's the first unqualified agreement we've heard in 3 weeks of testimony.
Objection.
I put it to you, Mr. Nash, that as a qualified and experienced accountant, you must have noted the vast amount of video equipment being bought on behalf of your company by Mr. Hughes.
Yes, sir, I did.
But you never questioned it.
No, sir.
Even though your company's balance sheet showed your annual profit on £500,000, turnover was just 0.5%.
No, sir.
Objection. I don't see that my learned friend's line of questioning has anything to do with my client's supposed involvement with pornography.
Mr. Jones? Now, Mr. Williams, is it correct that at the time of your arrest you told the police that Mr. Kay and his fellow directors were the makers of the pornographic film?
Yes, sir.
Why is it then that you now claim that Mr. Barry Hughes and you alone made and sold these pornographic films?
Because they threatened me.
Mr. Kay threatened you?
No, sir, the policeman. Him over there.
Objection.
Let the record show that Mr. Williams identified Detective Inspector Royal. Although, members of the jury, you may think that after having heard the submission of the defendants, Williams and Hughes, they were not capable of running this highly organized pornographic business on their own, it is still your duty to make your decision purely on the evidence that we have heard through the last 5 weeks of this trial. You may feel, The other four defendants on trial have far more financial and organizational acumen to run this horrendous business. But, as I've already stated, the defendants must only be judged on the evidence placed before you.
My lord, I would wish to apply for legal costs to be awarded to my clients, Messrs. Kay, Dagley, Snack, and Jacob. And in view of the fact that my clients have been found not guilty of all charges, I would like to apply for the release of their video equipment by the police.
I'm afraid I cannot acquiesce to your request, Mr. Webster. As for cost, although your clients have been found not guilty, I do not feel disposed to grant them cost.
Royal was right. Kay and his mob just walked away.
Over, Roger. You did all you could. You stood up and were counted.
Yeah, counted out.
Look at that sunset over the city. Beautiful.
Yeah. You know, there's something Royal said about your dad that still bothers me.
He didn't tell me Royal mentioned that.
No, he said your dad was his snout. Royal said he and your dad were working towards Kay.
Well, that's ridiculous. My father a snout? Everybody knew then knew my dad was an ex-copper. Nobody would talk in front of him.
Oh, my God.
Where are you going?
To get your dad's diary.
Look. May the 13th, 1951. I approached Superintendent Bradley with my information about Kosnovsky being involved in the children's prostitution. He then told me to forget it. He mentioned the sum of £500. I met Terry after the shift in the Dragon's Arms pub. I told Terry what had happened. He told me to take the money. He'd done the same in the past.
I don't see the connection.
No, neither did I until I looked at this photo of your dad's football team.
What about it?
Well, look at the goalkeeper.
Well, the same with those haircuts.
Yeah, and now look at the name at the bottom of the photo.
Terry Royle. Surely you don't...
Oh, bloody do. Royle's father. The dynasty lives on. No wonder Royle was convinced Kay would get off. He's been working with him all this time. Yeah. Hello?
Enjoy the sunset over the cathedral, Roger, because it might be your last. We've got a long memory. A very long memory.
In A Long Memory by Peter Simpson, Dennis Waterman played Roger, Tim Thompson, Roy, and Diana Tatis, Mary. John Harris was Poole, Philip York, Kay, Colin Starkey, Dalglish, Tim Reynolds, Jacobs, and Gordon Reed, Nash, and Dave. Andrew Barnes played James, an Spanish policeman, Susie Brown, Peggy, Manning Wilson, Jackson, and the judge, Margaret Ward, Elsie, Alan Dudley, Alf, Julie Barry, the TV interviewer, Anthony Jackson, Barry, Andrew McLaughlin, Inspector Royal, Ian Thompson, Sergeant Mullins, and Seth QC, Brian Hewlett, Patton, and Dimitri, Michael Tudor Barnes, Superintendent Forbes, and Second QC, and Aquin Jones, Donnie. The play was directed by Matthew Walters.